A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 8th chapter, verses 71 to 82. Tacha visikta prayatas tamapasya vipavarim samahita paryacharad vishade shenapursham. Elsewhere, Dhruva Maharaj, having arrived at Madhuvan, took his bath in the river Jamuna and observed fasting in the night with great care and attention. After that, as advised by the great sage Narada, he engaged himself in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada Muni is present here in the this altar right next to me here. There's Narada Muni on this side, and Dhruva is on this side, and Narayan is in the middle. So Narada Muni is here. And before coming to Madhuvan, Narada Muni advised Dhruva to practice the Ashtanga Yoga system while meditating on the beautiful form of the Lord. So here we can also meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord Narayan, who is present here before us, and also meditate on Dhruva Maharaj. So what will be the result of meditating on the form of the Lord? We heard Narada Muni said in verse 52, Evam bhagavato rupam supatram chayatamana nivitya parayatunam sampanam nanivartate. One who meditates in this way, concentrating his mind upon the always auspicious form of the Lord, is very soon freed from all material contamination, and he does not come down from meditation upon the Lord. So then, continuing his instructions, Narada Muni advised Dhruva Maharaj to recite one mantra while he was engaged in his worship of the Lord. That mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this was the mantra that he was given by the Lord. So then, after instructing him in the mantra, he said that he will get wonderful results. Within 7 days of chanting this mantra, he would be able to see the wonderful demigods flying in the sky. But better than that, even better than dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, he would get vimukti, special liberation, engagement in devotional service of the Lord. So Narada then approached Uttanapad back at the palace. So because Dhruva had left home, and Narada wanted to see what was happening with his father. And his father was in deep meditation on his lost son. But Narada consoled him, saying, "Don't worry, your son's reputation is already spread all over the world. And he will soon come back having achieved perfection." So I'd just like to say a few words about this place, Madhuvan. It is said that anyone who comes to this forest of Madhuvan will satisfy all his desires. Krishna appeared in Madhuvan in all four ages. In Satyayuga, he appeared as Narayan to Dhruva Maharaj. In Treta Yuga, he came as Shatrughna and killed the demon Lavanasura. And in Dwapara Yuga, Lord Krishna himself came. At the we saw the Krishna Kund. He used to water his cows at Krishna Kund. And then in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this place. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 17th chapter, verse 193, is described. Madhuvanna Thala Kumuda Bahula Vanna Gila Tata Shnan Kori Prema Vishtahila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the different forests, including Madhuvan, Talavan, Kumudavan, and Baluvan. Wherever he went, he took his bath with great ecstatic love. So we can also follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and have our bath at Krishna Kund. Also in this forest, Ambarish Maharaj performed meditation and austerities in this forest in Satyayuga, and he made a vow to stay in Brajmandala for 1 year and strictly follow the Ekadashi Vrat, especially the Mahadwadashis. So, which form, who knows the name of the form of Narayan, which Dhruva Maharaj got the darshan of? Yeah. Prishnigarbha. Prishnigarbha is the name of the form of Narayan, which we are seeing here before us, and who gave darshan to Dhruva Maharaj. So this is explained in the purport of verse 71. And there also, Srila Prabhupada says, the significance of this particular verse is that Dhruva Maharaj acted exactly according to the advice of his spiritual master, the great sage, Narada. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti also advises that if we want to be successful in our attempt to go back to Godhead, we must very seriously act according to the instruction of the spiritual master. That is the way of perfection. There need be no anxiety over attaining perfection. Does anyone have anxiety over attaining perfection? We do. Sometimes we have anxiety. Prabhupada says no need. Because if one follows the instruction given by the spiritual master, he is sure to attain perfection. Our only concern should be how to execute the order of spiritual master. A spiritual master is expert in giving special instructions to each of his disciples. And if the disciple executes the order of the spiritual master, that is the way of his perfection. So what is the verse in Bhagavad Gita that confirms this point? Yes. Vyavasayamikabhu here. That was a very special verse in purport for Srila Prabhupada. That's 241. Or 241. So we heard how Dhruva Maharaj arrived and took his bath in River Jumuna, verse 72. For the first month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only fruits and berries. On every third day, only to keep his body and soul together. And in this way he progressed in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we may think that we cannot do this process of Dhruva Maharaj, but in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that we must know this process. This is about 8 lines down. We must carefully know the process of Dhruva Maharaj's service. How severely he passed his days will be shown in later verses. We should always remember that to become a bona fide devotee of the Lord is not an easy task. So we have experienced that. If those of you who have stayed many, many years in ISKCON or trying to do devotional service, it's not easy. But in this age, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it has been made very easy. But if we do not follow even the liberal instructions of Lord Chaitanya, how can we expect to discharge our regular duties in devotional service? It is not possible in this age to follow Dhruva Maharaj and his austerity. But the principles must be followed. We should not disregard the regulative principles given by our spiritual master, for they make it easier for the conditioned soul. So what is our austerity in this age of Kali? Chan, yes? Yes? Follow the four regulative principles. Big austerity for many people in Kali Yuga. Yes? We have to tolerate the association of devotees in Kali Yuga. It's not easy to live in ISKCON. Okay. Yes, Sankirtan.
The 16 nouns, of course, implies the Naam Abbas, at least. Naam Abbas.
Okay. So chanting of 16 rounds implies Naam Abbas, means where you're actually trying to chant without offenses and attentively. So Prabhupada said, as far as our ISKCON movement is concerned, we simply ask that one observe the four prohibitive rules, chant 16 rounds, and instead of indulging in luxurious eating for the tongue, simply accept prasad offered to the Lord. So we will be doing that here. Instead of having luxurious prasad, luxurious food, we will have nice prasad. Last paragraph, Prabhupada gives his personal application, personal instructions. It is our duty to remember always that in comparison to Dhruva Maharaj, we are insignificant. We cannot do anything like what Dhruva Maharaj did for self-realization because we're absolutely incompetent to execute such service. So Prabhupada's reminding us of who we are. We're incompetent to do these things. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have been given all concessions possible for this age. So that at least we should always remember that neglect of our prescribed duties in devotional service will not make us successful in the mission we have undertaken. It is our duty to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. How can we do that? How can we follow in the footsteps if it's impossible? Yeah.
Determination,
yes. That we need in order to persevere in our spiritual life. We should also be determined to finish our duties in executing devotional service in this life. Again, Prabhupada is saying the same thing we heard yesterday, Friday. In this life. That's the determination we should have. Why wait for another life? It's not worth it. We must finish in this life. And we can finish in this life. Prabhupada promised us we can do it. We just chant 16 rounds. Follow the four gift principles. Prabhupada ends, we should not wait for another life to finish our job. So this is Prabhupada's instruction to us. Don't wait for another life. Finish in this life. That should be our determination. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that we should make our determination that in this life, I shall execute Krishna consciousness in such a way, after leaving this body, I'll go directly to Goloka Vrindavan. So how many of you believe that this is a very nice instruction, that you would like to have this determination? Yes, this is very good. So of course, some of you would like to come back and serve the mission life after life. That's also all right. Or some of you might want to go to Ramaloka and serve the devotees there. That's also all right. But for us, Prabhupada is encouraging us that we should want to go back to Godhead. Verse 73. In the second month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only every 6 days, and for his eatables, he took dry grass and leaves. Thus, he continued his worship. Verse 74. In the third month, he drank water only every 9 days. Thus, he remained completely in trance and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by selected verses. So in the Sanskrit, there is an indication that in this third month, he achieved samadhi. Which line is that? Last. Upadhavat samadhina. He achieved samadhi in the third month after doing these austerities. In the fourth month, Dhruva Maharaj became a complete master of the breathing exercise, and thus he inhaled air only every 12th day. And if we stop breathing for just 4 minutes, we're finished. We cannot even hold our breath for 1 minute or 2 minutes. He held his breath for 12 days. Every 12th day he takes. And that's how the yogis prolong their life, because you only have a certain number of breaths. So if you think you're not going to be ready by the time of your death, then you can inhale every 12 days. And you can prolong your life that way, and you can finish in this life your devotional service. Thus, in this way, he became completely fixed in his position and worshiped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Verse 76. In the fifth month, Maharaj Dhruva, the son of the king, had controlled his breathing so perfectly, he was able to stand on only one leg, just as a column stands, without motion, and concentrate his mind fully on the Parabrahman. Adipush, do you know that yoga posture that he did? No. I think it's you stand on one leg and then you have your hands up like this over your head, praying and meditating. So that was his posture. Who else was standing on one leg that we remember? Kardama? I don't think so. Hiranyakashipu? He was on his toes. He wasn't on one leg. Atrimuni. He was also on one leg. And what happened? What result did he get from standing on one leg for hundreds of years? Yes. He got a son like Vishnu. And what happened before that? He got darshan of the Lords. And what happened before that? What happened? What happened in his yogic process? What was the
fire
came out of his head, first thing. And after that, he got darshan of the three deities. So he was only also he was eating nothing but air, and he was on one leg for 100 years, only eating air. So these are the austerities that were performed in previous ages. Just imagine if your guru told you, go to the forest, eat berries, stand on one leg for 100 years, stop breathing. How could we follow such instructions? We're so fortunate. And even, it's so easy. There's no rules and regulations for chanting Hare Krishna. But still we're not attracted to the chanting. Still it's difficult for us to chant 16 rounds. So this is the state of Kali Yuga, but also it's so wonderful to be born because now we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's very easy to go back to Godhead. Verse 77. He completely controlled his senses and their objects, and in this way he fixed his mind without diversion to anything else upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 78. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. So right at this place, he was performing that yoga posture and he captured the Lord and the three worlds were trembling, beginning from this place. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, in this verse, the particular word Brahma is very significant. Brahman refers to one who not only is the greatest, but has the potency to expand to an unlimited extent. How is it possible for Dhruva Maharaj to capture Brahman within his heart? So how was it possible? Tell me. Prabhupada asked that question.
Because Brahman can become biggest and the smallest.
Because Brahman can become biggest and also the smallest. Okay? That's a good answer. Prabhupada gives that answer that as Vishwarup, he is huge and we cannot dress him and bathe him, but as a deity, he comes before us in a very small size, so we can actually touch him. So that's nice. In the Sanskrit, so Prabhupada explains in the purport, this question has been very nicely answered by Jiva Goswami. He says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of Brahman, for since he comprises everything material and spiritual, there cannot be anything greater than he. In Bhagavad Gita, Supreme Godhead says, I am the resting place of Brahman. Which verse? In Bhagavad Gita. Brahmanohi pratishtaham amrita siyavyasya shashatasya tatamasya sukase kantikasya 14:27. End of the purport. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore says that, paragraph 1 ends, sorry, not end of the purport. End of paragraph 1. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore says that since the transcendental form of the Lord is the seed of all greatness, he is the Supreme Brahman. Since the Supreme Brahman was situated in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, he became heavier than the heaviest, and therefore everything trembled in all the three worlds and in the spiritual world. So he was such a great yogi that he could become as heavy as the whole universe, the whole world, and everything trembled. But nowadays, we don't have such yogis like Dhruva Maharaj. So how can we see such things? Can we see such things nowadays? Yes, we can. Prabhupada says in the purport, we can. People can actually, even today, there are great yogis who can make the world tremble. Who is one of those great yogis? Srila Prabhupada. He is a great yogi who can make the world tremble, and he did it. So Prabhupada says in the end of the purport, in conclusion, a person who always concentrates on the transcendental form of Krishna within his heart can very easily strike the whole world with wonder at his activities. So this is the perfection of yoga, yoginam api sarvesham. Ordinary yogis can exhibit wonderful material activities, known as ashta siddhi, eight kinds of yogic perfection. But a pure devotee of the Lord can surpass these perfections by performing activities which can make the whole universe tremble. So what activities did Srila Prabhupada do that made the whole world tremble? What did he do, actually? What?
Spread the holy name.
Spread the holy name. What else? Well, Harinam Sankirtan. That sounds like the same, yeah?
Yeah, the people jumping up and down just as if the world was trembling.
Okay. So the people are jumping up and down, so in that way the world is trembling in Sankirtan. Okay, yes. He made the Mayavadis tremble. Shnivishe Shunyavadi. Okay, somebody else. Nari?
With the
book distribution. Yes, Brihat Madanga. Yes, Prabhu. He transformed the hearts of thousands of people. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada made the world tremble. Okay, one last comment by Prashanta.
Especially he made the big scientists tremble.
He made the big scientists tremble, yes. Now in my son's textbook, science textbook, there's no mention of Darwin. I couldn't believe it. Not even, his name has been removed from the science book that my son has. I remember learning it when I was in school 40 years ago. But now the name of Darwin has been taken out. Can you believe that? Srila Prabhupada did that. He took the name of Darwin out of the science textbooks. Yes. So all the religions now agree about Darwin's theory. So how can we capture Krishna now? Now we're here, we're not great yogis. We're not like Srila Prabhupada. What can we do? How can we capture Krishna? If you can answer in Sanskrit, that's the best thing. But if you can't, there is a Sanskrit verse that we heard long, long ago, 3 years ago. 3 years ago we heard a verse. How to capture Krishna in our hearts? Sadyo hridyavrutate chakitibi shishubis takshanat. By hearing attentively, Srimad Bhagavatam, we can capture Krishna in our heart. Attentively and submissively. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes attracted to sit in our hearts. That was also stated by Maharaj Pariksit in chapter 8 of Canto 2, how to capture Krishna in your heart. And there's another beautiful verse, if I have it here. No, I don't have it here. Okay, anyway, we'll hear it sometime. So we'll go on to verse 79. As Dhruv Maharaj, the king's son, kept himself steadily standing on one leg, the pressure of his big toe pushed down half the earth, just as an elephant being carried on a boat rocks the boat left and right with his every step. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains what is the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. What is the difference in power? What is that? If you don't know, I'll tell you. End of paragraph 1. In ordinary consciousness, a king's son may be refused something even by his father. But when the same person becomes fully Krishna conscious within his heart, he can push down the earth with the pressure of his toe. Now just imagine that. On the one hand, a small boy, he was refused the lap of his father. On the other hand, he's pushing down the earth with his toe. Now just imagine the power of becoming a devotee of Krishna. We should be impressed. Paragraph 2, Prabhupada says, one cannot argue, how is it Dhruva Maharaj, who was prevented from getting up on the lap of his father, could press down the whole earth? So what is the argument that in Sanskrit, there's a Sanskrit logic that Prabhupada gives to defeat this argument. And Nagna Matrika Nyaya, logic. By this logic, one would think because his mother in her childhood was naked, she should remain naked even when she is grown up. The stepmother of Dhruva Maharaj might have been thinking in a similar way. Since she had refused to allow him to get up on the lap of his father, how could Dhruva perform such wonderful activities as pressing down the whole earth? She must have been very surprised when she learned that Dhruva Maharaj, by concentrating constantly on the supreme personality of Godhead within his heart, could press down the entire earth like an elephant who presses down the boat on which it is loaded. How else can we capture Krishna in our heart? I thought of another way. How can we capture Krishna in our hearts? Chanting Hare Krishna. If we chant nicely, then Krishna will be attracted. So verse 80. When Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness, due to his fully concentrating and closing all the holes of his body, the total universal breathing became choked up, and all the great demigods and all the planetary systems felt suffocated and thus took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says that this shows something to us. The example of Dhruva Maharaj's closing the holes and the breathing holes clearly indicates something to us about a devotee. What does it show us? What do we learn from this? Dhruva closing up all the holes of his body. Prabhupada says in paragraph 2 that, oh, you got it. You found it.
A devotee can influence the whole world
to become devotees. Prabhupada said, if there is only one pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, he can change the total consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness. So this is the example again of Śrīla Prabhupāda. One pure devotee, look what he did. He influenced the whole world. So one time, many sannyasis went to the West before Śrīla Prabhupāda. But no one became a Vaishnava. So one time before Prabhupada went to the West, one sannyasi was giving him advice. You know, if you go to the West, you're going to a foreign country. You have to learn how to use the fork and knife very nicely. And Prabhupada's reply was, I'm not going to learn all of these things. I will teach them how to forget these things. I will teach them how to forget using fork and knife. So that was Śrīla Prabhupada. He influenced the whole world, and all the materialists were trembling. The mothers and fathers of the devotees were really worried. Oh, you're not engaging in illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating? Your life is finished. How will you maintain yourself? But Prabhupada did it. He came and all the young people were attracted to him. So there is a Sanskrit verse by Chanaka Pandit. Chanaka Pandit says, Ekas chandras tamohanti natchatara sahasasa. If there is one moon in the sky, he can illuminate the whole sky. What is the use of millions of stars? Just give me one moon. So Prabhupada, in one lecture in New York, 1973, he said, at least you devotees who have taken to Krishna consciousness, each of you should become a moon and spread the light of Krishna consciousness to the whole world. Don't remain glowworms, Prabhupada said. We may want to just remain glowworms and hide in our little shells, but Prabhupada said, no, we should each become one moon. Then people will be happy. So Prabhupada often said, in one lecture again, when he arrived in San Francisco, he said, I just want one pure devotee in my movement, and I will be very happy. He said, of course, I've got many sincere and pure devotees, so that is nice. But I would have been satisfied if I could just have one. He said, but my good luck is I have many. And so Prabhupada said that. Verse 81. The demigods pray to the Lord. Naivam pitama bhagavan pranarotam characharasya kila sattatana Videhitanna vijinat vimoksham tapta vayam tvam sharanam sharanyam. The demigod said, Dear Lord, you are the refuge of all moving and non-moving living entities. We feel all living entities to be suffocating. Their breathing process is choked up. We have never experienced such a thing. Since you are the ultimate shelter of all surrendered souls, we have therefore approached you. Kindly save us from this danger. So the demigods have got a big problem here. They can't breathe. In fact, not only they can't breathe, nobody in the whole universe can breathe. Because Jiva Maharaj has made his body one with the universal form. So he stopped up. Part of the yogic practice is to close the holes of your body. So he's done that. But not only did he close the holes of his body, he closed the holes of the whole universal body at the same time. So therefore, the demigods, they made a very short prayer this time, only one verse, not a huge verses. And they said, we can't breathe, please do something. So, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says something very nice, that the devotees have no problems. Why do devotees have no problems? We think, well, I'm a devotee, I have so many problems. But why is it? How is it devotee has no problems? The Lord is the ultimate solution to all material problems. And that is the first, that is a sentence at the end of the purport. Supreme Lord is the ultimate goal for solution to all problems within this material world. In the spiritual world, there are no problems. But in the material world, it's always problematic. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of both material and spiritual worlds, it is better to approach Him in all problematic situations. Those who are devotees, therefore, have no problems in this material world. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what does that mean? Vishvam Purna Sukhayate.
The whole universe is happy.
Yes. When the devotee looks at the world, he sees the world full of happiness. How is it possible? The whole world can be full of happiness for a devotee. There is suffering here, isn't there? So how this vision? Prabhupada tells why. Devotees are free from all problems because they are fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a devotee, everything in the world is very pleasing, because he knows how to use everything in transcendental loving service of the Lord. So how is it? So this is a very important point. The difference between the world being full of happiness and the world being full of distress. So what is it that makes the world full of distress? Yeah. What?
Forgetfulness of Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, trying to use it for your service. If we're in anxiety, that I need this, I need that, I need this, we're in distress. We forgot. Yeah.
Seeing
your own interest as separate from Krishna's, this will give you a lot of mental distress. If you're only thinking how I will make Krishna happy, you've got no problem. Because Krishna is always happy. He's always happy. So you don't have to worry about making him. But we should think, if I can make him happy, how can I make him happy? That's what he wants. He's got many people trying to make him happy. But what he's waiting for is for you to make him happy. For us, each one of us, we have to think, how can I make Krishna happy? Yeah. Atmendriya pritivansha tare bole kam. Krishnendriya icha tare premanam. Yeah, so when you are thinking for your own sense gratification, that is called kama, or lust. And when you're thinking for the pleasure of Krishna, that is called prema, or love. Very simple. If you want no problems, only think, how can I make Krishna happy? What will please Krishna? Then your problems are finished. Because everything is taken care of by Krishna. It means you're just His servant, so He'll take care of you. He'll give you whatever you need for your service. But if you're thinking, I need this, oh no, I have this problem, I need this, I need that, then that means you're trying to take care of yourself. Now, if we leave ourselves in the hands of Krishna, then everything will be taken care of nicely. So the great souls, Prahlad Maharaj, he said, I'm not anxious. I have no problem. Why? Because I'm satisfied. I'm happy simply by chanting your holy name. That makes me happy. So therefore I have no problems because I'm always chanting. He said, but still I lament. What is the lamentation of Prahlad Maharaj? All these fools and rascals, they're trying to be happy in Maya Sukh. I'm thinking how I can save them. How can I get them out of this Maya Sukh? I'm lamenting for them. They turn their face away from you. So this is the mentality of the devotee. Srila Prabhupada is explaining to us here in this purport. Verse 82. Ma vaishtabalam tapaso dratyayan nivartayishye patiyata sutama yato iva prana nirota asi altana padir mai sangatatma. Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, my dear demigods, do not be perturbed by this. It is due to the severe austerity and full determination of the son of King Uttanapad, who is now fully absorbed in thought of me. He has obstructed the universal breathing process. You can safely return to your respective homes. I shall stop this boy and his severe acts of austerities, and you will be saved from this situation. So Sangatatma, Prabhupada says, how do the Mayavadis misinterpret the word Sangatatma? What do they say this means? Yes. Dhruva became one with the Lord. He merged completely into the existence of the Lord. The self became one. So they want to prove, Prabhupada said, by this word, the super soul and individual soul become united in this way, and after that, the individual soul has no separate existence. So how to disprove this claim by the Mayavadis? Yes. Yes. Yeah, they're different because the super soul was attracted to Dhruva Maharaj. He came there, attracted by Dhruva Maharaj's austerity. So he went to please the demigods, he went to stop Dhruva Maharaj. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? And then we'll continue. Yes, Bhakta Josh. Austerities of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, his question is that we are advised by Srila Prabhupada to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. So in order to make quicker progress, should we perform more austerities? That is the question. Should we? How many say yes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many? 9. How many say no? 1. You've done too many austerities already, huh? How long have you been in the movement? 2 say no. Okay. Some say no more austerities, I had enough. But most people say yes, more austerities. Okay? Tapodivyam putraka yena shudyat. Okay, so Rishabhdev mentions tapodivyam, but not ordinary austerity, divyam. So what is this divya tapo? What is this tapodivyam? Yes. A minimum of 16 rounds. This is tapo divyam. Minimum of 16 rounds, yes. And he said, actually, we should chant 24 hours, but it's too difficult right now. Yes. Preaching. Preaching is another austerity that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. Besides chanting our 16 rounds, he wanted us to preach. Yes, Vishaka, did you have a comment? Next one. Okay, are we finished with this? Yes.
There is one place where...
Okay, if you want another place, if you want to advance quickly, follow Ekadashi Vrat, the austerity, yes? Chanting Hare Krishna is the biggest austerity. More sincerely. Yes, quality can be improved always. That's an austerity. Not to be mechanical in your chanting and in your devotional service, yes?
Again, regarding the verse of
Rishabhdev, the idea is... Rishabhdev. Yes. Yes, if you find by your austerities you're becoming hard-hearted, and more mean to your friends and devotees and other living entities, then stop your austerities and chant more Hare Krishna. And you know you're going in the wrong direction. Yes. Satyavati. Okay. So here's another point, that the purpose of austerity, not for your own self, but for the pleasure of the Lord. That's always good. Your motives are important. Okay, next question, Vishal. Okay, well, let's look at the purport and see. Her question is, it seems like the reason why the Lord came was because the demigods prayed, not because of Dhruva Maharaj's austerities. So let's see what the purport is this. The Lord said, it is due to the severe austerity and full determination of the son of Uttarpad, who is fully absorbed in me, I shall stop this boy. He's absorbed in me, he said. So, let's see. Super so. Again, Prabhupada talks about pleasing the Lord at the last paragraph of the purport. He says, by pleasing the Supreme Lord, one pleases everyone, just as watering the root of a tree, one satisfies every branch. If one can attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally one attracts the whole universe, because Krishna is the supreme cause of the universe. Well, it would seem that the only way he could attract the universe or have this power is because he attracted the Lord. Actually, he got the power because he attracted the Lord first, it would seem. And if you read in the 11th canto about the mystic, how to get mystic powers, it's described in the 11th canto. Every single one of the powers involves meditation on the Supreme Lord at the same time in a certain way. So I would think that the Lord was attracted. I mean, the austerities were there, but at some point he was meditating on the Lord in the heart. So the Lord was attracted. And it seems like you cannot attract the... Here it seems that by attracting the Lord, he could attract the universe, or he could become so powerful. And that's what Srila Prabhupada said in this purport, that he got the power, he became so powerful because of his connection with the Lord. Because he was a great devotee, therefore he could do this. Not ordinary yogis can't do this. He comes for more than one reason. Also, he came because of the demigods too. Yeah. Yes.
Also, he could have stopped him in a different way.
Yeah. He could have stopped him without going there. Yeah. Everybody's in the sun. Maybe you need some shade over there, huh? You want to move? Yeah, maybe you can. Is the sun disturbing you? No, okay. But next time we have to make a different arrangement for next class. Huh? Sun's moving, is it? Yeah. We'll see where it is at 10. Yeah. Okay, well, for the next class we can change positions. Any other questions? On this Sankirtan 71. Mm-hmm. That's right. He gives special instructions to each of his disciples.
Now, in practical experience in Prabhupada's life, I don't think he could do that. He has so many disciples, and some got special instructions, and some hardly even met.
Okay, so you think that perhaps he didn't give special instructions to every disciple? I think you would have to ask every disciple what he thought about that. But many have not met Prabhupada.
On that basis.
Right, on that basis. So, yeah, it could be. I know that I met him, but I didn't have so much association with him. And when I was here, I thought, well, he didn't give me any special instruction. But now, 30 years later, I see he gave me special instructions. Because I'm actually, not only in letter, in person. In person, two times I met him in person, two times he spoke to me. He mentioned things that now I understand these were special instructions, although at the time I didn't understand what he was talking about. One was about speaking Bhagavatam and the other was about writing books. And he said, yes, we will do many books together, and it never happened. So I thought, well, I guess that, but now it's happening. So it could be that when you are ready in your spiritual life, then it's revealed, the special instructions. It's like for me, for 30 years, I didn't understand what was my special instruction. And then even in my initiation letter, then I understood now also that was special instructions too, although it looks like it's the same for everybody. But for me, it actually was special because he told me to study all the books, do deity worship, and preach, do Sankirtan. So then when I look back on my life, I saw that the first 7 years was deity worship, the next 7 years was preaching, and then now the end it's studying all the books. So I, even though it just looks like in so many people's letters, he said the same thing. But it's very special also. And then the last instruction, to be engaged 24 hours, I take that as the next level. I would like to achieve that level in this life of being 24 hours engaged in Krishna's service. So I feel like that's the last instruction. It was the last instruction. And he said, and follow four regulative principles strictly and chant at least 16 rounds. If you follow these instructions very rapidly, you will make advancement in spiritual life. So then I see it was special. Although you look at my letter, you look at others, it looks like, okay, chant 16 rounds, study the books. Looks like it's the same instruction for many people, but after some time, when you mature in your devotional service a little bit, you get to the level of stop fighting with the other devotees, then you realize that there were some special instructions given to you by your spiritual master. And for some devotees, it may come through the books, those who haven't met him. It may come through another devotee. It may come in different ways. Sudama Maharaj, when he had a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada, and later he left. But before Prabhupada left, he told Sudama Maharaj that, you know, after I leave, you should listen for me. You should listen for me. He says, I will speak through the mouths of others. So you should try and listen for me after I leave. So it was quite interesting because then Sudama left the devotees and fell down from devotional service. But then at the end of his life when he was dying, Srila Prabhupada came to his mother in a dream. And his mother told his mother that he should go back to the devotees. So his mother told him, Prabhupada wants you, you better go back. Go back to the devotees. So through his mother, Srila Prabhupada spoke, you should go back. So that's quite interesting instruction. Listen for me after I leave. Okay, so any other questions on this? One last question. You become super soul.
He lost his individuality.
Right. Prabhupada always stresses that. Yeah. Yes, we become one. As Sankirtan, I think you said, one in desire, or having, as Adi Purush, no separate desire. Become one, because if the way you can tell a devotee has become one with the Lord, you see how he acts in this world. He makes you think of Krishna. If you see a devotee who's actually one with Krishna, then it's just like seeing Krishna almost. It's like seeing Prabhupada. Yes. One who's in touch with the Lord becomes purified, Isha Upanishad.
And then he acquires the quality of the Lord as a purifier.
And he acquires the quality of the Lord as a purifier.
And I was reading from Bhagavatam, it is confirmed that anyone who comes in touch with the pure Lord becomes purified.
So anyone who comes in touch. So this is the becoming one means you become so pure, just like Krishna, that whoever you meet, whoever you touch, becomes a devotee. You become like a touchstone.
One in quality.
And you get also all your own natural spiritual qualities come out as a pure devotee of the Lord. So we'll stop here, we'll have breakfast, and we'll come back for the next class. Bye.